The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Go to geico.com today.
Fantasy, you're in the home 6010.
Hump Day is here, Wednesday, September 25th has arrived. Field, Mike, and Starfania, good to have you two back. A lot going on. We are officially on to week four. It's time to get those lineups set. It's time to figure out whether the players you added on waivers fit into your starting lineup this week. You name it. But first of all, how the heck are you guys?
Doing pretty good. Doing pretty good. It's week four already somehow.
Yeah.
I'm told anyway.
Things move fast. Stefania, how are you doing? You're good?
Hold on. Stefania's got to turn her microphone on. Sorry, that's her fault.
Oh, Stefania, how you doing? Tell us again.
Oh, yeah,
it's her first time in the studio.
Oh, yeah, if only there was a button next to you to turn your microphone on.
This is the 13th season of the show.
Yeah, but here's the thing.
12th season of the show.
Normally, if
Mike and Field did
it
by themselves. Oh, no, you're right. Stefania needs me to turn it on when Mike and Clay can use their own fingers to do it.
You know something? She's starting to, she's feeling herself a little bit.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Too much to be, not even Stefania can be held responsible to turn on her microphone.
I think it was a setup. I think you turned it off.
I did not. Turn it off.
Watch
Everyone
this.
Else turned
Watch
it on.
This. We're going to get her.
Oh, my gosh.
Well done, Daniel. You set me up.
We got a lot of news to get to today, including sort of some breaking news. We'll get into that in just a minute. We've got some injury updates. We've got some quarterbacks who are new and the impact it has on their impact pass catcher. So, Daniel, we wait no longer. Let's do this.
She's not a cone. She's your favorite gal. She's Stefania Bell.
Stefania Bell is back. No one better to break down a lot of injuries. And Stefania, we begin with Cam Newton because we know he's going to not play in week four, but I think there's more to this story than people maybe currently understand and realize. I've used this phrase a few times during the show so far this season. When I hear Lisfranc, I get nervous. That's what we're hearing with Cam Newton. What does it mean? How long might he be out?
Okay, this is going to take a minute. We're going to try and iron this out. So the Panthers all along, since Cam got hurt in the preseason, have said this was a midfoot sprain, right? Sound familiar? Midfoot sprain. The Lisfranc joint complex in the foot is in the midfoot. It is held together by ligaments. When ligaments are injured, that is a sprain. So technically, a midfoot sprain and a Lisfranc sprain are interchangeable terms, okay?
Okay.
That being said, just like with any other sprain that we talk about, there are degrees of severity. So you can have very mild, no real structural damage to the ligament, ranging up to severe, where you have complete disruption of ligaments and instability in the area, okay? So a Lisfranc injury is a midfoot injury, and you have this spectrum of how severe it can be. So when I heard yesterday that this was being reported, that Cam had this Lisfranc injury, I was like, to me, it doesn't necessarily mean that anything has changed at all because he still has a sprain of the midfoot and now we're just calling it by another term. Here's what I'll say, and here's why I think this triggers people when they hear Lisfranc injury. The most severe cases of Lisfranc injuries are where you have instability in the foot because you have complete disruption of the ligament. You can also get a fractured dislocation. So do you guys remember like when Matt Schaub had this and he had that horrible injury and then he had surgery and it was like 6 months to come back?
I remember a lot of pick sixes to find you. I'm not going to lie.
Okay. Well, that's your job and my job is to remember how he was injured. But then you go to Marquise Brown, right? Going into a more contemporary example, shall we say. When he was coming into the draft, he was coming off Lisfranc surgery. Why did he need surgery? Because he had instability in that area and they had to fix it. If Cam had needed surgery or they thought he had needed surgery right away, there wouldn't have been a wait to have it. The only thing I will say, the only caveat to throw in here is it possible that you can start out with a mild midfoot sprain and it can progress from a stable injury to something unstable? That's possible. Do we think that happened? We don't know. We don't know. But my understanding is that the Panthers are still referring to it officially as a midfoot sprain and that the plan is unchanged. He's still rehabbing, et cetera. I've said all along that I think there's a bigger issue with Cam, which is if you put all of it together, because you can't really do these things in isolation. Shoulder surgery, didn't get much exposure in the preseason, partially because he had the foot injury. Comes out two games, four quarters of football after he really was not healthy since week 8 of last season. He doesn't perform well. that's all jumbled in there with whatever the residual injury is. So I'm glad he's taking time off. They obviously have something in Kyle Allen, but I would not assume that he's having a massive change in his foot injury based on the terminology.
We've talked about this a bunch. We've already talked about Kyle Allen and what he means. We're going to get into these pass catchers later on and the impact there. So let's just keep things moving here on just the news portion of it, Stefania. T.Y. Hilton's got a quad issue, and I feel like this is a recurring theme we've already dealt with so far this season. The good news is he's scored in every game, so hasn't slowed him down all that much.
He's a major gamer. If T.Y. Hilton's healthy, he's going to play, and that stands to reason again for this week. But I think it could be another game time call, because if you saw when he left before the half, he walked off the field right after he scored that touchdown, only he was stiff-legged. Like, his quad obviously tightened up, and the thing you worry about is that it turns into a massive tear. So he obviously left the game at that point, did not return. I would expect him to get a lot of treatment this week, and it will come down to a late-in-the-week decision again.
All right, Mike, just quickly, some names amongst pass catchers. Is there a pass catcher you would even trust if he sits?
I mean, Paris Campbell's a guy I'm looking at on waivers for sure. Played a career-high 28 snaps last week. And remember, the Colts have scored touchdowns so far. 3 touchdowns in every game offensively, 2-plus passing in every game. So Paris Campbell's a guy, again, you would expect him to play more and more as the year goes on. He's a guy I would add. I'm not going to start him, though.
Okay, good to know there. I agree, by the way. Let's just hope that T.Y. Hilton plays on Sunday. It's a great matchup against the Raiders, as we have already forecasted earlier on in the week. The Chiefs running back, Stefania, are multiple in terms of their injuries. It's not just Damian Williams. It's also LeSean McCoy, who did not finish last week's game. So what do we know about both of those players?
Unfortunately, I don't think we know much at this stage, because it's really not until we get the practice reports. I would assume LeSean McCoy played last week. I assume he'll play again. Yes, he didn't finish out the game, but he'd already done some damage. You know, he got in the end zone. They put him in specific situations. There was no sense in pushing it further if his ankle was aggravated. So I expect you'll see LeSean McCoy again. And Damian Williams, I think we're going to have to wait and see if he's able to run in practice.
Just a reminder that Damian Williams did not practice at all last week.
Right.
So that might give you an indication. He and Devin Singletary were two running backs that I had my eyes on for a potential multi-week absence, given that they were total no-goes last week in practice. Mike, if we think LeSean McCoy plays, does that mean that Darrell Williams still has any value in your lineup in week 4?
A little bit. I mean, he was the more effective back. You just didn't realize it because McCoy scored the 2 touchdowns, right?
Sneaky touchdowns.
Yeah. Selfish. Yeah, sneaky touchdowns, right? But they could go either way. I don't think McCoy necessarily is going to be the goal line back. Williams has some size to him. He could potentially take some of those. And I know McCoy missed the end of the game, and Williams soaked up a few of his touches in the fourth quarter. So it kind of swung the touch and the snaps a little bit. But again, I expect it to be a 2-man backfield. Darwin Thompson was not a factor in this game until McCoy got hurt. So if I had to choose, I would still go with McCoy as a flex option. Darrell Williams, not a great flex option, but 2 teams are on a bye, so maybe you have to sneak him in there. It's not that big of a deal. After all, I'm told the Chiefs' offense is pretty good.
Debatable.
Yeah.
I've heard more compelling cases for others. Cardinals so far. Maybe the Jets, but I guess the Chiefs. Yeah, they're okay. By the way, I'm looking forward to that game on Sunday. I know Daniel's probably going to have to like white knuckle his way through it if this game stays competitive, but Chiefs going to Detroit to play your Lions, Daniel.
You bet. You know what? Everyone didn't want to believe when we took on the Eagles
Cardinals?
Led by Carson Wentz. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'll tell you what, listen, how much did that franchise mess up by getting rid of Nick Foles? I mean, think where you guys would be if he was still under center.
I know. Gardner Minshew would have been the Eagles starting quarterback if they hadn't lost.
That'd have been incredible.
Nick Foles. Unbelievable. By the way, seriously, great litmus test for the Lions on Sunday. The Steelers keep trading away 2020 draft picks. They last night acquired Nick Vanette from the Seahawks. Stefania, on the surface, it wouldn't make that much sense. And then you find out that Vance McDonald's banged up.
I know that he's wearing a sling now on his shoulder, and all they've said is a sprain, and that's a whole lot of nothing in terms of information. Ligament injury, you know, is it a AC sprain? What we don't know. So rather than speculate, here's what I would say. I would look at the roster move as the bigger indication that they at least want some insurance. They play Monday night, if I'm not mistaken, so they have an extra day to get Vance McDonald healthy, but they may already know that he might not be there.
Okay, there we go. I think so. The Steelers traded a 2025th round pick, I believe. Wasn't there already one part of the Minka Fitzpatrick trade? I don't know. Whatever. The point is, it's a 5th round pick. Maybe it's in 2021. I may have misread the details there. Nick Vanette is gone. So I think there's actually 2 sides to this that are kind of intriguing, Mike. For the Steelers, it's pretty good insurance up until Vance McDonald returns. remember, the Steelers tried to claim Ricky Seals-Jones off of waivers, who is not any great shakes, but still, in the Steelers' offense, before Ben Roethlisberger got hurt, and this was when the waiver claim went in, you had more confidence in the pass catchers there. So, Vanette, does he have some fantasy relevance until Vance McDonald returns?
I don't think so. Not right now. I mean, he was always, at times he would sneak into like a 10, 12% target share in Seattle, and you were kind of surprised by that. But I think that's probably closer to a ceiling. In fact, he's just joining this team. It's hard to imagine he's going to play a full-time role this week. They have Xavier Grimble, who maybe they're
not. Yeah, they do.
Yeah, they do. Well-named Xavier Grimble. Now, they may not love him if they traded for Nick Vanette, you know, so I'm not sure how that's going to play out, but I would expect him to be the number one, at least for this week. So if I was desperate in a two tight end league, I might be interested in Grimble, but I'm not going to go much further. I mean, tight end is a mess right now, so
it's
there could potentially
disaster.
Be value.
God bless you, Evan Engram. But the real interesting side of this trade, I think, is Will Dissly, Mike, who I get it. It was the most irrelevant touchdown in a game, like for real football, in quite some time. Will Dissly, for those who missed it, scored a touchdown with time expired, the Seahawks down by 12, zero chance mathematically to win. And yet, it still counts for fantasy football.
Sure
His
does.
Third touchdown
that's
in
most
two games.
Important, that's the most important part.
He was billed as a blocking tight end in college. He went to Montana, and as our friend Jim Nagy points out, he wore number 98 as a tight end in college. Like, you're trying to look unathletic. It's hard to do that when you're a blocking tight end. It's not hard to do that when you're a blocking tight end. Anyways, is this maybe a sign of that they're going to open the passing game up even more for Will Dissly in Seattle?
It's going to depend on game script, right? So they've been behind. They were in that shootout with the Steelers the week before, and they had to throw it a little bit more than expected. You see that in Tyler Lockett's targets as well. And that was another factor. Everybody talks about that garbage time touchdown. Well, Russell Wilson attempted 50 passes in this game. How often does he do that, right? He
doesn't feel like very often.
He doesn't do that very often. So that's another factor. His targets so far, 2 in the first game, 5 in the second game, 7 in this third game. Perhaps his role is expanding. Remember, he had that long touchdown last season and was a top 10 fantasy tight end before he got hurt in week 4. So he's kind of flirted with tight end one territory. If I have a concern here, it's playing time. He's only played 55% of the snaps. He's run around on 45% of their pass plays. I know they did, just as mentioned, trade Nick Vanette, so maybe that kind of secures his role. But I think he's gonna be a little bit more boom bust than a consistent tight end one. But again, you can't ignore the touchdown production. And like you said, I mean, they're throwing it a little more than they did last year. And you know, when they're ahead, maybe that won't be the case. But so far, they've had to, because that defense needs a lot of work.
If I could, I think you're right, 55% of the snaps. But the reason why I'm more optimistic is because of the trade. That's why I'm saying, like, hey, listen, now they no longer have a guy in Vanette that was playing a comparable amount to Dissly, and I know that Jacob Hollister could get some more run, a guy they've traded a 7th-round pick for, but camp reports weren't glowing about Hollister, so we'll see how he fits into the mix now with Vanette gone and headed to Pittsburgh. If I could, Daniel, you know it's coming.
ESPN Radio, breaking news.
Adam Schefter tweets the following: Chargers running back Melvin Gordon's holdout could be soon coming to an end. Though no final decisions have been made of when to report, per league sources, he had planned to return at some point in October, but could soon be moving up his reporting date. Interesting here. So, I actually think, you know, what I think is kind of cool about fantasy football is that this story has, it's just a few minutes old, but I think it's actually reverberating a lot more in the fantasy football world than it is the world of real football, right? Like, Austin Eckler has been amazing.
Right.
The Chargers 1-2 success or 1-2 record is not because of the production of Austin Eckler. It's the exact opposite. Like, they might be 0-3 without him, right? So, but people are like, crap, I've been riding the hot hand of Austin Eckler here. So Adam was not specific for a reason, because he doesn't have a specific date. But the fact that something could be coming around the corner sooner rather than later probably has people that roster Austin Eckler thinking, okay, what do I do now? If you drafted Melvin Gordon, what you do is you just wait and hope for the best. Like, you are happy you made that decision. If you have Austin Eckler right now, and I know this is just minutes after we got this news, is your first thought, I got to trade this guy right now while I can? Or is the value too depreciated because, let's say Melvin Gordon shows up Wednesday of next week, all of a sudden you have 1 week of Austin Eckler utility, and then all of a sudden he's splitting carries at best with Melvin Gordon?
Well, I'll say this. This isn't like a few years ago when D'Angelo Williams was the starter for the Steelers and Le'Veon Bell came back and and Williams was a complete non-factor, like droppable, nothing more than a handcuff. Eckler does have some standalone value. He's extremely good. We're finally seeing this on display. Maybe Melvin Gordon, miscalculated that for sure, because the guy behind him is a really good running back, obviously. He will still flirt with the flex radar. So you could get some value out of him, not to mention that he's an elite handcuff, obviously. That being said, if I can get a top 15 running back or maybe a borderline top 20 receiver, something like that, I'm interested. I'm going to look into it because I'd be worried about just having a flex on my hand. So yeah. I'd be looking at maybe a Kerryon Johnson type kind of in that territory. You might be able to pull that off. Possible. So.
If you could, I think it's a wonderful idea.
Yeah, I would explore
that. I would love to. I think if I could get an RB2, I'd feel great about it for Austin Eckler. I don't think that's going to happen in a lot of leagues. I think people are going to be a little bit more rational about this and fear the possibility that Melvin Gordon returns next week and Austin Eckler, like I just mentioned, is not irrelevant in fantasy, but a much more difficult player to start. So I think what I would do, this would be my thinking. I actually don't have Austin Eckler in any leagues. I don't know how that happened this year. Maybe I had more confidence in Melvin Gordon showing up than others did. If I get the RB2, I'd do it in a New York minute. Do it, run away, and feel good about it. Devontae Freeman, Kerryon Johnson, guys like that. If I can't, I think what I would do is I would just stand pat with Austin Eckler and hope for the best. Because just because Melvin Gordon reports doesn't mean he's going to play right away. It doesn't mean that he's going to finish the season with the Chargers. There are a lot of moving parts there.
Yep.
That if the deal's not really good, I say, you know what? I'll take RB1 for the next 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 weeks potentially.
Yeah.
And just settle there.
No doubt. And you probably don't need Eckler, right? Like, he wasn't your second round pick. You should have decent players fill in those other spots. So it's going to hurt your team. But you still have decent options at those positions.
Unless you have injuries that have affected your other starting.
Fortunately,
options.
We haven't had too many notable super, obviously Saquon being one of them. But besides that, we haven't had the depth has not been trimmed too much by injuries so far at running back. It's just been because there's been poor play. Really interesting situation though. I mean, we'll see. Again, Shefty, did not pinpoint a specific date. So we don't have a date to pass to you, but there seems to be momentum towards Melvin Gordon reporting back to Los Angeles, which obviously has a major impact once that time comes. You know, hiring can be a slow process. Cafe Altura's COO, Dylan Miskowitz, needed to hire a director of coffee for his organic coffee company, but he's having trouble finding qualified applicants. You know what he did? He switched to ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its technology identifies people with the right experience and invites them to apply to your job so you get qualified candidates fast. Dylan posted his job on ZipRecruiter and said he was impressed by how quickly he had great candidates apply. He also used ZipRecruiter's candidate rating feature to filter his applicants so he could focus on the most relevant ones. And that's how Dylan found his new director of coffee in just a few days. With results like that, it's no wonder 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. See why ZipRecruiter is effective for businesses of all sizes. Try ZipRecruiter for free at our web address, ZipRecruiter.com/06010. That's ZipRecruiter.com/06010. ZipRecruiter.com/06010. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. We have new quarterbacks, which means we have an impact on their pass catchers. What did we learn in week 1 of the Daniel Jones era, Mike? Because Sterling Shepard and Evan Ingram went from really good players, perhaps a star in Ingram's case, to superstars on Sunday. Can this persist? What are some of the encouraging signs? What metrics matter that might tell us a little bit about what these guys' value could be going forward?
Well, what I value is the fact that Daniel Jones values his top two weapons here, Sterling Shepard and Evan Ingram, which was incredible. 19 of his 36 targets went to two players, over half, obviously, to Ingram and Shepard. You like that a lot. 11 targets for Shepard. He reached 100 yards and a touchdown. Ingram put up over 100 yards, had a touchdown as well on 8 targets. So that's great. I mean, as long as he's getting the ball to his top weapons, they're going to have a lot of fantasy value. And I love Shepard in the offseason as their clear number one in this offense. So if Jones is more effective than Eli Manning and pushes the ball downfield more than Eli Manning, the sky's the limit for these guys. Keep in mind that Golden Tate is one more game he's out with the suspension. He'll be back. He'll handle a lot of the underneath work, and that's just going to open the door for more Shepard on the perimeter, more downfield options, perhaps more.
Do you like that though
for
Shepard?
Yeah.
You want Shepard on the perimeter more?
I thought he was fine last year. His average depth of target was higher on the perimeter, which isn't a surprise. Yep. And he got a lot more work near the goal line, which is more end zone targets, more his OTD per game was higher. you like that for sure, at least in fantasy. So it's more valuable in non-PPR, but I think it will offset any short-range, high-percentage throws in PPR as well. So I like those two guys, and I would keep an eye on a sleeper as well here, Darius Slayton, who out of nowhere came off the injury and played 20 or ran a route on 22 of their 41 pass plays, had five targets. His average depth of target was 20. So he's getting used downfield.
It's a fifth-round pick.
Yes.
Crazy speed. Crazy,
great opportunity.
Crazy
here.
Speed. Yeah, good opportunity.
Benny Fowler, Cody Latimer, Cody Core, TJ Jones. Like, he could potentially take that, essentially a three job once Tate is back. So he's a guy, especially in deeper leagues, I keep an eye on.
Danny Dimes, looking impressive so far. That right there is good stuff. And Juju Smith-Schuster has got just one full game with Mason Rudolph as the starting quarterback. But they've been together in the same roster for, what, about a year and a half now. So you would hope maybe they got just a handful of reps together at previous times, whether when Ben was a little bit tired, banged up, or they just wanted to get Rudolph some developmental reps. In the first game that Mason Rudolph was the quarterback of the Steelers, the 49ers, sorry, Stefania, tried everything they could to lose, and the Steelers still couldn't win. Mm-hmm. But what do we learn about Juju and his value in this offense with Mason Rudolph under center?
I'm nervous. I'll be honest. Now,
interesting,
I'm
because
hoping,
there's... Ooh, yeah. Okay, tell me more.
I'm a little worried about this situation. Now, it could be as simple as it's Rudolph's first start. He's traveling all the way to San Francisco. That would be tough, really. You know, traveling across the country is tough for any team. You see that in the numbers. So it could be that simple. But we saw conservative throws from Rudolph, 6.9 average depth of targets, extremely low. And still he only completed just under 57% of his passes, averaged 6.2 yards per attempt. Not great. Not a good start. Not what we want to see at all. So that makes me nervous for Smith-Schuster. Now, he has seen seven or more targets in all three games this season. That's good. But his production has been extremely reliant on three plays. 76, 45, and 26-yard catches. In fact, 81 yards in week three against the 49ers. Stefania, 76 came on one play.
Yes, it was a busted coverage. We saw that.
Exactly. She remembers. The North remembers.
Well aware.
Exactly. So 60% of his receiving yards on three plays. I know he's playing every down. He's their top receiver. He's super talented. He can contribute big plays occasionally. We know that we have that. He has that in his game, but if this offense really struggles to move the ball, he's going to have some duds, and he could have some duds. I have him on teams, and I watched him have a very low number in fantasy points for a long time until he kind of exploded with the big play. It makes me nervous for sure. So I'm worried. I'm worried about him now. I mean, you drafted him in the first two rounds, and he's not living up to that so far, and it could get worse if
so,
he doesn't hit the big play.
For those that think that Mike is a blabbering moron and want some positivity, I'll pass along these notes. In 2019, with Mason Rudolph under center, Juju has seen a 26.7% target share. That's good. Small sample size, but still, that's good.
Yes, very. Yep.
Air yards per... You dropped the very in there.
Got
huh?
the very in there.
Yeah,
super
very.
Small.
Yeah, it's also super small that he's played like crap. Maybe he turns it around.
Okay.
Very small sample size. Mason Rudolph stinks.
All right, fair.
Again, I told you.
I said that at the top. I
You're
mean,
the
it was
blabbering
one game,
moron.
It was a bad
I'm the
situation.
One that's trying to help nope. people out. I'm trying to be the person that
we'll
panders
see.
To the crowd and gets the likes and the retweets.
We'll take
and all
our victory
fans.
Laps in a month, all right?
Okay. 10.9 air yards per target. That's up from 9.1 with Ben Roethlisberger this season. And 2.2 points per target. So you're telling me there's a chance.
There's definitely a chance.
I'm
love Juju. Super talented, super young. Maybe Rudolph's better. There's so much to like. But I'm nervous. I'm
Some
invested in him, and I'm
like
worried.
Mason Rudolph. Do you see
you
it?
You know what it was? It was the...
Do you guys see it? Mason Rudolph. Can you see it? Right here on the camera. What do you think?
Oh, boy.
Just imagine right here. Mason Rudolph. Right here. And then me. Right here. What do you think? You see it? You see it?
No.
You don't see it?
His head is like twice
as
big as yours.
Yeah, he's got a lot more knowledge. He can absorb an entire NFL playbook.
I'm not
playbook.
Saying that it's occupied with more brain.
Got nice
I'm
hair,
just
though.
Saying it's a bigger head.
Can we do, I'm just going to throw this out there, just randomly organic. Can we do a board bet on this back and forth fight you guys have?
Sure. I don't know what the board bet is.
What is it,
though? I am totally in. I've changed my mindset this year. I would rather, I want to be J.R. Smith, baby. Like, I don't care if it takes 600 three-point attempts to hit 125 of them. If 125 three-point makes is third in the NBA, even if I shoot 12%, I'm in. I know that math was wrong, but still, I'd rather win more board bets while also losing a bunch of them.
Yeah.
Than not win that
That's
many
the way to
and
think
have a better win
it.
Percentage. See, Daniel?
Well, one thing you're doing wrong right away, though, is that you have a shirt on.
So yeah,
you have to work on that.
You'll
that,
actually,
okay.
You know what?
It's a family show.
You know what?
Twitter
this is a family show. My mom and my grandmother, Grandma Nono. Hello, Grandma Nono. They're watching this morning. They're in Columbus, Ohio together. So I will keep my shirt on to preserve my dignity, whatever bit of it I have.
Can
left.
We do rest of season? Rest of season on Juju?
Rest of season, Juju Smith-Schuster will have fewer 3-point makes than J.R. Smith. Okay, so
I'm
what's
not thinking about it? Hold on, Mike's got to think about it.
Let's Mike's the numbers guy. You'll crunch something. What would be?
Come up with something, Mike.
I'm working on it.
Okay,
I'm working on it here. I'm gonna pull the projection.
No, I'll work on the board bet, and you work on.
I have him wide receiver 12 in the projections the rest of the way. That's where he falls at 68 catches, 917 yards, 5 touchdowns.
So I think he'll be a top 10 play the rest of the season at wide receiver.
I will say he will not be. Okay, a top so let's, 10.
You ready for this? From the top, I say Juju Smith-Schuster will be a top 10 wide receiver for the rest of the season.
I say Juju Smith-Schuster will not be a top 10 fantasy wide receiver the rest of the season.
Put it on the board.
Another win.
That was way better than last week.
That was way better.
One more. Good job, guys.
One more caveat.
Was awkward.
One more caveat, by the way. I think for these rest of season bets, we did this a couple days ago with Matthew. Minimum 6 games played. Correct.
How about just apply common
sense? And a points per game basis. Right.
Like, you can't do right, that, Mike, with Matthew. So they have to actually put in actual
Mike?
Rules.
What do you think this is?
There's no common sense.
Apply some common
sense. You're talking to me. It's fine. Come on.
All right. Last one here. Kyle Allen. We talked about him earlier. He's going to play a bunch going forward. DJ Moore, Curtis Samuel, Greg Olson, G-Reg. Thoughts there, Mike?
I mean, obviously Allen looked terrific in this game. It was very low volume passing game for the offense, so we'll see for sure. But I just think it's interesting how that offense has distributed all of its targets to the same guys, right? Look at the targets of our 26 DJ Moore, 25 Olsen, 24 Curtis Samuel, 21 Christian McCaffrey. That's 86% of their targets to 4 guys. That tells me they can sustain the production in fantasy that we've seen so far. All of them are viable starters. I like that for sure. We've really seen Curtis Samuel come on a ton of volume over the past couple of weeks. In fact, DJ Moore, the last 2 weeks, wide receiver 21 in fantasy. Samuel, wide receiver 22, both delivering top 25 numbers.
It's my guy, Curtis Samuel, who I liked going into the season. And essentially, it's the same 4 guys that, I mean, is the distribution is not that different from when Cam was in there. So I think it should look pretty much the same.
Yeah, we like what we've seen so far from Kyle Allen. And DJ Moore and Curtis Samuel just look like, especially Moore, in my opinion, just they look like rising stars in this league. So good to see that offense finding its footing in week 3. Certainly helps when you play against the Arizona Cardinals. Let's have some interesting week 4 ranking conversations. Let's say you wanted to go bold. You wanted to go big. You wanted to say bold pick of the week for a wide receiver ranking. Mike Clay is like, you know something? I watched that game on Monday night. Terry McLaurin was the only reason why I want to watch the Washington Redskins play offensive football this year. He's a top 20 play for you this week, Mike? Is
no
that
doubt.
Right?
No doubt. Absolutely. Can we talk about his nickname for a while?
I know what you want. Go for it. Okay. Yeah. Start with the nickname, and then we'll get to why he's a top 20 play.
Yeah, first of all, there is a lot of talk about Scary Terry, right? No, I know people call
not
him.
Not I, scary t- I'm not
like
doing
that.
It. I refuse
I,
Terry.
Me too.
Scary
that's Terry
Terry.
Rozier, right?
Yes.
I mean, that's
Thank
been
you,
used
Mike.
In basketball. I'm not even a basketball guy. That and it's too easy. I hate it.
Yep.
Someone came up, John Proctor, I think it is the name. Apologies if I'm drawing a blank. I've tweeted about this. Came up with F1. Or McLaren F1, which I love. I thought that was a perfect. This isn't even mine. I'm just giving credit.
Mike, the race car driver guy, is definitely.
But still,
I mean, listen. His name's Terry McLaurin.
Yeah.
And McLaren F1 was for a long time the Guinness World Record holder for fastest car. Right. So I mean, he's fast. We know that. His name sounds like McLaren. McLaurin. I mean, it. The connection is perfect. And F1 is just it's
F1
a sharp
McLaren,
nickname. I love it.
F1 McLaurin. I love it. I think I'm totally in on it.
I love F1.
So tell me why he is a. So you're feeling really bold here, Mike. Tell me why. Is your bold pick for this week, you would go with Terry McLaurin as a top 20 wide receiver?
Yeah, I don't know how long this is going to be bold because the guy is delivering the goods. So for now it is. He's been a top 20 fantasy receiver all 3 weeks. So I have him at 20th. Maybe I'm on the low end here. 3 touchdowns already. The efficiency is terrific. No surprise there. 16.1 yards per reception. He is 12th in the league in receiving yards. And the matchup is outstanding. The Giants defense has allowed 786 receiving yards just to wide receivers so far. That is most in the NFL. Also almost 18 yards per reception, also highest in the league. They've given up 6 touchdowns to receivers. That's 3rd most. And of course, connect the dots here, the 2nd most fantasy points to receivers, including the most to perimeter receivers. It sets up beautifully for Terry McLaurin and as well as his teammate Paul Richardson. So both of them strong week 4 plays.
Same game, different side of the ball here. Wayne Gallman, who fills in for Saquon Barkley. We've all got him as a top 26 play, Mike. They did not add any running back yet after working out Fozzie Whitaker, also Benny Cunningham, also Zach Zenner. So it's going to be the Wayne Gallman show this week.
Yeah, no doubt about it. He was on the field for 62% of the snaps on Sunday, only had 5 touches, which was a little concerning. But remember, they were way behind, the Giants were, and had to play catch up. That may not be the case this week against Washington. I expect them to win this game, especially if Daniel Jones plays near as good as he did against Tampa Bay. Remember, we have seen this before with Gallman. He has been in this spot as the lead back for the Giants back in 2017. Averaged 4.3 yards per carry on 111 attempts. Had 34 catches, had 5 top 25 fantasy weeks, but kind of lacked a little bit of a ceiling. He wasn't a full-time player, never had a fantasy finish or fantasy week better than 15th. So for me, I feel like they're going to find other guys to get the ball to. They're going to throw the ball plenty. It could be Eli Penny, who's a fullback, tailback sort of on the roster. Now they'll sign someone, of course. I think they'll mix it around. So for me, Gallman more of a flex option. I don't feel great about him as an RB2. In fact, I was a little hesitant to spend a lot on waivers this week.
O.J. Howard and the Buccaneers go to Los Angeles to play the Rams. O.J. Howard finds his way back into the top 10 tight end ranks this week. At least he caught a pass in week 3. That was good. We appreciated that very much. One pass, even one, is all it took for us to feel better about O.J. Howard.
Yeah, I mean, we don't know what's going on there behind the scenes in Tampa Bay, but I feel like O.J. Howard has a ton of talent, a ton of pedigree, and they need to find a way to use him better.
Yeah.
I mean, if they want to win games, like I almost put it on, again, I don't want to call anybody out because we don't know what's going on, but coaching staff has to make better use of this guy. Nonetheless, he's run around on 55% of their passing plays so far. Previous career high was 47%. So he's actually running more routes. That's a good sign. Also, he has a 9% target share. That's better than 8% as a rookie when he was flashing in fantasy. It's a little below last season, which was
really
what I
99% is better than 8%.
Thank you for making sure that everybody knows that 9% is better than 8%. That
is a massive improvement.
I mean, just giving you the information.
You're right.
I was making a point.
That is right.
I'm saying it was higher than an 8% when he was fantasy relevant, right? So he can still.
No, you're correct. 9% is higher than 8%.
All right.
But here's the problem.
Thank you, Matthew.
Can you shut your mic off, please? Yeah.
Part of the reason that you drafted him is because of touchdowns. That's what you're looking for a tight end.
And that 1%. That extra one.
The 1% target share is huge. Yeah.
And maybe that 1% was when he was in the red zone a lot. He was utilized in the red zone. He's a big guy who could go up and catch passes. And he's not being used that way this year.
Yeah, not yet, certainly. I'm all thrown off now. Can you turn your microphone to 0%, please, so I can finish this? Anyway, he was at 11% last year. He was a top 10 fantasy tight end. He's a little bit below that now, but it doesn't take a lot. He doesn't need a huge boost forward in order to provide top 10 numbers, especially with the mess the position is right now. So
okay.
I'm a professional here. I'm trying to finish what I was trying to say.
No more hard times for Mike.
Hold the fort down with O.J. Howard.
I'll tell you what, Mike. Why don't you talk to us about DraftKings this week? Can you do that for us?
No, I can't.
Well, all right, please reconsider.
Can you, like, literally please?
Because we have no choice.
Mike's snapping his paper.
Let me ask you a question, Daniel Dopp. Is there anything better than watching football?
9%.
I don't know. Do you think there is?
An 8% target share.
An 8% target share is better than watching football.
That's all wrong. Of course there is. Watching football with a DraftKings lineup on the line is even better. That's especially the case this week. DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy football, is giving new users a free shot at over $1 million in prizes with your first deposit when you sign up at DraftKings.com/FFF. Draft your lineup and feel the sweat like never before. Every run, throw, and catch means more with a DraftKings lineup on the line. It's simple. Just draft your lineup, standard the salary cap, and see how your team stacks up against the competition. Let's see. Who do we like this week? I'm thinking maybe O.J. Howard.
Ooh, no. Going OJ Howard.
Have you heard of him?
I've heard of him.
Do you know what his target share is this year?
It's higher than last year, I'll tell you that much.
Yes. No, higher than... See, you're not even listening. It's higher than 2017.
Higher than 2017, below 20, obviously.
See, if you weren't cracking jokes back there.
I know.
Anyway, we like the Redskins this week for sure. Maybe Howard gets going into tournament. Certainly a tournament option. Lots of good plays, and you can find out more on our DFS podcast. We'll run through those later this week. Nonetheless, plus all new... new and existing users can get a deposit bonus up to $500. That's some extra cash to play with this football season. Nothing adds to the sweat of watching the game quite like having a shot at over $1 million in prizes. Head to DraftKings.com/FFF right now. For a limited time, all new and existing users can get a deposit bonus up to $500. Plus, new users will get a free shot at over $1 million in prizes with your first deposit. That's DraftKings.com/FFF. For all new and existing users to claim your special offer, only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit required. Deposit bonus requires a 25 times playthrough. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
He's a brainiac. He's my Clay.
Debatable on the Brainiac part. That being said, we are preaching patience, Mike, on Mike Williams, right? Tell us about this Fantasy 32 takeaway that you have on a pair of Los Angeles wide receivers.
All right. Yeah, I'm going to say don't panic on Mike Williams just yet. It's been a slow start to the season, only 8 catches, 157 yards, no touchdowns. But remember, he was a little beat up, right? He got hurt in week one. He was limited to about half of the snaps in both weeks one and two. Remember, he was questionable going into that that second game. But he bounced back in week three. 94% of the snaps he played. He only caught three passes for 45 yards. Didn't score again. But here's the thing. On the year, already up to three end zone targets. His 1.7 OTD, or his expected touchdown total, is 10th highest in the NFL. Remember, he scored 10 touchdowns last year, so we know he can deliver in that department. So the opportunity has been there. He has just been extremely unlucky. In fact, there's a 1.7 gap between his touchdown total of zero, obviously, and his OTD. That is largest in the NFL. So he's going to start scoring touchdowns as long as his role continues to be the same. And he's healthy and playing all the snaps now. So I think he's a guy to trade for this week, and he's a guy to stay patient with.
Mike's little Cooper Kupp is a top 10 wide receiver so far in fantasy football. Is that going to keep up, Michael?
Yes, I think so. Okay. Wide receiver 8 in 7 full games with Brandon Cooks and Robert Woods last year. That was last year. He was already giving you top 10 numbers at the position. He's been even better this year. The targets are up, a 33% target share, which puts you up there with the top in the NFL. Certainly the elite receivers are in that vicinity. He's wide receiver 6 in fantasy points. And, you know, compare that to his usage. Can he sustain this? The answer is yes. He's wide receiver 4 in expected fantasy points, or OFP, and he's 13th in OTD at 1.5. So he should certainly be in that 1-2 touchdown range. 4th at receiver in targets and receptions. It's all there. Everything he needs to be a top 10 fantasy wide receiver he has right now. Will the target share come down a little bit? Yes, and he can afford that. He can afford that and still give you top 10, top 12 numbers.
It's interesting. Just from the eyeball perspective, if you watch the Rams, I feel like Jared Goff, if he gets in trouble, the guy he's always looking for is Cooper Kupp. He is his most reliable pass catcher right
he
now.
He certainly has been so far, and it seems like that is a trend that should continue. The Patriots are going to have a hard time sustaining a third wide receiver, says Mike Clay. Care to explain yourself?
Yeah, I think they may. I mean, especially once Ben Watson comes back, if they start throwing to him a little bit, that could be a little bit of a factor. Now, they all were productive this past week, right? Edelman put up 7 for 61 and a touchdown in 1 half, right? He didn't even play in the second half and delivered that. Josh Gordon had 6 for 83. Philip Dorsett scored, had 6 for 53. All of them hit double-digit points. But again, no Watson, not back from suspension yet. And no James White, who we know soaks up a lot of targets as well. So Dorsett is third in line. We know that. It's Edelman, it's Gordon, and then it's Dorsett. And, you know, it's interesting. Maybe they can support him as maybe a flex option. But here's the thing. He's wide receiver 18 in fantasy points right now, but he's 57th in OFP. He has 3 touchdowns, but a 0.6 OTD, which is 49th at receiver. This is a guy that's never eclipsed 33 catches or 3 touchdowns in a season. It's, you know, if you go back and research wide receivers, it's hard to find guys that break out and have a strong, like a wide receiver 3 flex sort of season this late in their career. It happens once in a while. Maybe he's the exception.
He's
a great offense.
He very
well could be, but he's going to need more consistent volume, and 11% or so target share is not going
to
cut it.
All right, good stuff there from Mike. And for more on the Fantasy 32 article, head to ESPN.com or the ESPN Fantasy app. We're taking a quick break. We'll be right back after this enjoyable clip.
Fantasy, you're in the whole 6010.
Definitely don't be that guy, as the clip just told you. We're going to do a little segment right now, wholesale or retail. So let's say that you are looking at someone else in the league who has a particular player that might be struggling a little bit. And you're like, you know something? I'm going to find my way to get that player on my roster. Who might it be for me? The answer is Robert Woods. Robert Woods has been brutal so far this season. By his own standards, 31.6 points this season. But we know this much about Robert Woods. He's had slow starts before. He's overcome them. He had 13 targets in week one. He had 8 targets in week two. The Rams have already played 2 road games. They are much better at home. And I believe some of their other home game or road games they have to play come in far more reasonable climates, like, for example, San Francisco and Los Angeles. For whatever reason, the cold has been Jared Goff's bugaboo. And if not the cold, then, you know,
He's a California kid.
Yeah, the Midwest. Yeah. The Midwest, I know, well, was not cold. I know it was a beautiful night this past Sunday in Cleveland. It was unbelievable. So I'm not trying to be so naive. But for whatever reason, he has seemed far more comfortable in games played at home or in much better surfaces.
Get that.
I'm in on Robert Woods. I like this player way too much to think that he should not be better than what he has been so far. Mike, who would be the player that you're looking for on wholesale right now?
I'm going Christian Kirk. This guy has seen a ton of volume. He should be producing more in fantasy than he is, and we all believe he's a talent, right? I mean, he was a second-round pick last season. We all expected him to make a leap forward this season. So I think it's coming, right? He's played 88% of their offensive snaps so far. He's handling a 24% target share, which, believe it or not, is higher than Larry Fitzgerald. He is leading the team in target share and targets. He's fourth at wide receiver overall with 31 targets this season. But again, only 20 catches, only, I say, 205 yards and doesn't have a touchdown. He's 10th in OFP or expected fantasy points, but only 29th in fantasy points. By the way, he's also put together back-to-back top 25 fantasy weeks, again, without a touchdown. So once those scores start to come, and I think they will, he's going to be even more valuable. Now is your chance to get him on your roster.
All right, Starfania, your chance. You're the one that's got some real wisdom here. Who's your wholesale player?
Well, you know, if you're looking for running back depth, it's not bad to go with a guy who's the number one running back on a potentially potent offense. He just hasn't produced that much this season, and that's Devontae Freeman. And it's not for lack of volume, and that's why I think there's better days to come for him. Greater than a 65% snap rate overall, but if you look at in week three, he was on the field almost the entire game. Ito Smith a little bit banged up now. If you look at Devontae Freeman's summary over 3 weeks, 35 carries and 12 targets, and the numbers going up each week, 8 carries week 1, 11 week 2, 16 in week 3, you obviously need opportunity in order to be able to score. I know you like that word, Mike Clay. So it's not without some risk, but I feel like there's nowhere to go but up in him. And with that kind of volume, I think the numbers are going to get better.
Okay. Good stuff there. The Falcons offense certainly has left a lot on the table so far, but they do, as Stefania said, have the ingredients to be potent. Stefania's also going to say something about sleep number.
Oh,
just kidding.
Oh,
Daniel
hey,
is
hey,
dead.
No, Daniel
oh,
stole
this is
my
Daniel.
Life.
Daniel Steeler.
Go ahead.
Yikes. Steeler Daniel.
Sorry. Stefania, do you have a favorite NFL team or player?
The Rams.
Jared Goff. No, he's from California.
Just imagine, how much better do you think, let's say, Robert Woods would sleep and or recover with good quality sleep? Maybe he wouldn't have gotten off to such a slow start. Well, here's why it's the smartest choice for better sleep and the best bed for couples. Feel just in case you and Chapin ever decide to start sleeping in the
Thank
same bed.
Thank you, Daniel. Good to know.
Sleep number beds
My
allow
couch
you...
is so not comfortable.
Sleep number beds allow you to adjust on each side to your ideal firmness, comfort, and support. The Sleep Number... Stefania, stop it. Just stop. The Sleep Number 360 Smart Bed senses your movements and automatically adjusts to keep you sleeping comfortably throughout the night. With Sleep IQ technology inside the bed, it tracks how you're sleeping so you can know every morning how well you slept and gain insight for your best sleep. Experience the smart, effortless comfort of the Sleep Number 360 Smart Bed. Find your competitive edge with proven quality sleep from $999. Sleep Number is the official sleep and wellness partner of the NFL, and you will only find Sleep Number at one of their 575 Sleep Number stores nationwide. Find the one nearest you at sleepnumber.com/FFF.
Two things. First of all, Dak Prescott, you just Sleep Number. Second of all, I just yawned because I was so tired thinking about that luscious Sleep Number bed that I'm one day going to buy for myself. Now to the other side. Wholesale and retail, baby. We begin with my pick. G. Reg Olsen. Before you tell me that I'm absolutely nuts because
he's... You're nuts.
Okay.
Mike, I couldn't wait.
Before you do it. He has 17-plus points in consecutive games. And I get it. He has been awesome. He has looked rejuvenated. I am not telling you that you should trade away Greg Olsen to acquire another tight end who has been struggling up to this point. What I am telling you is this, is if you could do something along these lines. Trade for George Kittle. He has struggled out of the gates. He's got a week 4 bye, which probably is unlikely, but what you might be able to swing here is trade for a running back or a wide receiver that you could start each and every week. It's harder to find tight ends. I get that. But there is a higher ceiling week to week, and a weekly wide receiver or a wide or a running back that you could use as one of the pillars of your lineup, and somebody who either has good depth or is just super desperate for a tight end. If you could pry away a starting wide receiver or a starting running back, I would be comfortable doing that at the cost of Greg Olsen. Shout out to you though, Greg G-Reg. He has been awesome so far this season. Mike, you got a pick.
Yes, I do. I'm going to go, I actually have a lot of numbers on this one. Is that all right? You like numbers?
Sure.
You good at numbers?
8% of the time I like them. Yeah.
This is new for me, right? I'm going with Mark Ingram here.
Okay.
I need a lot of evidence here because this is a tough case to make. But look, he's fifth in fantasy points right now at the running back position, but he's RB11 in expected fantasy points. And why? I mean, it's touchdowns have been a big factor here already. He has 5 scores. His 3.0 expected total or OTD is second in the NFL. And that's great. He's getting a lot of work near the goal line. You like that, but it's covering up a lot. He's only 17th at the position in carries. He's 39th in targets. He's only run 33 pass routes so far and has seen 6 targets. So here's the thing. He's averaging 14.3 carries and 2.0 targets per game. That is not enough for RB1 numbers in his current role. In fact, I look back to last season. That's 16.3 looks per game, targets plus carries. Of the top 15 fantasy football running backs last season, if you look at all 15 together, they averaged 19.4 looks per game. That's about a little more than three more than Ingram is seeing right now. Only 3 of them average fewer than 16. Tariq Cohen, James White, Kenyon Drake, all of them good pass catching backs that do a lot in terms of receiving yards, that kind of thing. He doesn't do that. So that's my concern. I don't know if he could sustain RB1 numbers in PPR, so I would be looking to move him now while his value is kind of peaked this season.
Mike hates the Ravens. Stefania, what do you got?
I have Sammy Watkins.
Ooh, and interesting.
And here's why. Like, Sammy Watkins came out of the gate looking amazing, like sort of reminded us what Sammy Watkins could be. And then obviously Tyreek Hill's been absent, so Sammy Watkins obviously was going to be featured. But you can get a lot of return on value. My thought is if you have Sammy Watkins on your roster, his ADP, he went in the 8th round. So he was not drafted like a number one receiver, but he's been performing in that middle 1 to 2 range for the last few weeks. You're going to get Tyreek Hill back, potentially not in the not too distant future. You've got obviously some other young receivers who are capable of putting up numbers now. And as Patrick Mahomes gets more confident in them, I think you'll see more of Hardman and Robinson. So, and the other thing, which of course I neglect to mention now, but we know Sammy has an injury history. So now might be an opportune time to get the best return on value for Sammy Watkins when you probably aren't going to lose much at your wide receiver depth, depending on where you drafted him, and you can get a position of need. You know, maybe that tight end that you need if you have somebody who's injured or on bye.
I would probably not trade Sammy Watkins for a tight end unless it was like a truly elite tight end. But I think if it was potentially a wide receiver you felt offered more consistency, then I would be pulling the trigger there for Sammy,
I also think you could potentially get running back depth for him too.
By the way, after week 1, I traded Watkins for Freeman straight up. So you're 2 guys. See that? I was a little ahead of you, Stefania, but we're on the same wavelength. We're on
is
the same
that
wavelength.
Like I was 1% behind you.
No, I'm saying we're on the wavelength. I'm saying we're on the same. I was all right.
Stefania went to Princeton. Michael's accepted early to Princeton. He just declined it instead. Where'd you go again?
I went to
Heidenberg.
I went to Kutztown.
Kutztown.
Andre Reed.
Heidenberg.
Our football field is Andre Reed Field. Shout out Andre Reed. Shout out.
He didn't go there, did he? Did he go to Kutztown?
Yes, he did.
How about that? Yeah. Kutztown. What is it? The Harvard of Eastern Pennsylvania?
It's the Harvard. It's like the Harvard compared to Harvard. I mean, it's like
it's the Harvard of Harvard. The Harvard of Harvard. Got it. Okay.
It's for only the top 1%.
Only the top 1% there. One of those 8%ers make it. All right, Keith, a couple of social questions to bring us on home here.
Oh, I can't top that. Casey.
The Harvard of Harvards.
Come on, guys, it's science.
Casey wants to know, Philip Lindsay or Devontae Freeman rest of season?
Devontae Freeman for me. I think that
I gave you all the ammo you need to know. Casey.
Believe it or not, I'm on Lindsay now.
Interesting.
54% of the carry, 17% of the target share so far in what is a run-heavy offense. He's going to get a lot of volume. I mean, that 17% target share cannot be ignored. That is huge for a running back. If he's going to keep seeing that, he's actually 3rd in OFP right now. 3rd. His efficiency has been horrendous, but I think he can be at least average. I mean, we saw him be very good last year in certain departments. I think the bigger plays are coming. The volume he has right now is great. I think it's him.
2-1. The winners go to Devontae Freeman as both Stefania and I pick him. All right. What else, Keith?
Caleb, this is probably right up Mike's alley here. Some hot and cold starts from QBs early on. Who are your top five QBs for Dynasty Leagues?
Yeah, this I knew this was coming, and I looked at it because it's tough at the top. It's
Can I guess? Let me just take a guess.
You'll never guess number one.
Okay, number one. So let's see. Is Cade McNown still in the league? Is he?
No, it's Brett Favre. Come on.
Matthew Stafford.
Oh, Matthew's. Okay. Patrick Mahomes, one.
Yes, Mahomes is one.
I would imagine Sean Watson, number two.
Yes.
Okay. Number three, I would think, would you go Kyler Murray or would you go Kyler Murray? Okay. Four would be Lamar Jackson.
Correct.
Five would be
Gardner Minshew. No.
Baker Mayfield.
Daniel Jones.
Baker Mayfield.
No.
Baker Mayfield.
Baker Mayfield. Yeah, yeah. I was going to say.
Mayfield was three. Yeah, I'm a little nervous. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's enough concerns about the, you know, upside with Baker that I went Kyler and Jackson. I moved them ahead. So
okay.
That's three and four right now. I need to see another couple weeks of Daniel Jones, but he's working his way.
I'm just ahead of you, Mike. Like you were ahead of me on the train. Let me know when Daniel Jones
are you jumped the gun. You jumped the gun. I'll wait for a bigger sample.
Okay. Keith, what else?
So Will wants to know, and this he wants to know from Mike and Stefania, since you weren't here yesterday, they'd like your thoughts on the James Conner versus Leonard Fournette board bet from yesterday.
How about we do this?
So this, oh, go ahead.
Let's make them part of the board bet as well if they'd like to get in on the action. Okay. I bet that Leonard Fournette for the rest of the season would outscore James Conner. Matthew has James Conner in that side of the equation. Again, the caveats were minimum six games, points per game. It's not total points.
Yeah, I'm taking Fournette.
Okay,
and
Mike
is starting,
smart.
And it's starting from now. It's
right.
Not including
starting
yet.
Right now. Yep.
Yeah, I'm
starting
taking,
from now.
Correct.
So the last three
games do not count as a part of this. Week four is where this bet starts. Minimum six games, points per game.
Yeah, I definitely taking Fournette. 94% of the snaps he's played so far. 91% of the carries. 21% target share. Crazy.
I'm only worried about are we gonna get six games? Okay. Leonard Fournette.
Okay, there you have it. I win that one. I'll probably win the board bet as well. Let's bring it on home with one more. Keith Lipscomb, what do you got for us?
Mark wants to know if he should move on from TJ Hawkinson or is some sort of sustained value coming with time.
So you know what's funny? Sometimes we overreact after one week. Sometimes we do it. Mm-hmm. And I bought into it. I took the bait. The Lions, the undefeated Lions. At the time they were undefeated, they're still undefeated right now. I thought, you know something? There's realness here. But I'm still buying. I'm still buying TJ Hawkinson. What can you trade him for? You shouldn't drop him. Who else is better, right? There's like two and a half good tight ends.
Yeah.
I'm in.
I'm going to hold a week here because they're playing the Chiefs. The Chiefs so far have allowed 26 catches, 232 yards to tight ends. Both of those are highest in the NFL. They've also allowed the fourth most yards, five end zone targets. It sets up for a bounce back game. So I'm going to see how he does this week. If it's a dud, you have to move on.
I'm staying on TJ Hawkinson. Yeah. I mean, I think it is an overreaction. We saw what he could do early on. I think that he bounces back, like you said, against the Chiefs. And just, I always look at the remainder of what else is out there.
Right. That's the problem. And what do you get?
Tell me who replaces him, really.
Daniel Dopp, the best producer in the world. I would never, ever insult you by saying to move on from TJ Hawkinson.
I appreciate that. And I think the better days are ahead from TJ Hawkinson. Listen, it's all about finding a rhythm.
That's right.
Luckily, your objective.
Correct. On tomorrow's show, and I'll tell you about one more thing in just a second, but on tomorrow's show, wide receiver cornerback top talk plus a game preview of Mike's Philadelphia Eagles, fly Eagles fly against the division leading undefeated yet to be tested Green Bay Packers belonging to Sir Kyle Soppy. I smell some sort of wager. I don't know what it's going to be. Probably a bowl of cereal against, I don't know what Mike would
a box
prefer.
Of cereal, come on.
A box of cereal versus something
sushi. Bet.
We'll decide on that tomorrow. If you're watching the video stream right now, we're going to head out. Peace out. Talk to you tomorrow. If you're listening on audio, we're going to head over to our friend. Well, debatable whether he's our friend. Our colleague, Matthew Berry, who's got an interview with a certain member of the Celeb League. Peace out.
He's Matthew Berry. He's Matthew Berry. He's Matthew Berry.
All right, thank you, Field. So I am now joined on the phone by real-life, actual, big-time, hotshot Hollywood directors and fantasy football moguls. So Phil Lord and Chris Miller, who have been a part of the ESPN fantasy-focused podcast Celebrity League for a number of years here. You've seen their work. You've enjoyed their work for many, many years. They've been writers, producers, directors of some of the things that you've absolutely loved. 22 Jump Street, all the Lego movies, Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs. And, of course, they are Oscar winners for their work on Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. Chris Miller, Phil Lord, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. It's awesome to be here. And our number one credit is playing in the Fantasy Football League with you.
Well, you guys and we were talking, you guys and I, we were all texting on Oscar night where I said, you realize if you guys win, it'll be nice, whatevs, but nothing compares to you guys winning the Fantasy Focus Podcast Celebrity Fantasy Football League last year. I mean, right? I would assume the Oscar was like a whatever compared to that.
It was a grace note.
Yeah.
We couldn't agree more. It was incredibly satisfying.
It's like the little mint you have after the real meal.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I assume, like, I haven't been to your houses yet, but I have to assume that, like, the Fantasy Focus trophy is prominently displayed and the Oscars, like, probably, like, in the bathroom or something.
Yeah.
We actually use it to roll the toilet paper off of. It's mounted into the wall, the Oscar. But the Fantasy Focus one obviously is on my mantle. I don't know where you keep yours.
Yeah, no, you do what you got to do, Chris. Mine are both proudly displayed.
As well they should be. Hey, so you guys are – one of the things you guys are here for, you're joining us, is you guys have your hands on a lot of different pieces of entertainment, and you're here promoting a new show that you guys executive produce, Bless the Hearts, which premieres this Sunday, September 29th, 8:30 p.m. over there on Fox. So we're going to talk about that in a little bit, but everyone should check that out. Very funny show. I got sent the I got sent the pilot there, the first episode. Very, very funny. Nice job there. We'll talk about that in a second, but I want to talk a little bit fantasy football. Now, Chris, you are a Seahawks fan. Phil, you are a Dolphins fan. So I understand why Phil's all into fantasy football this year. Cause it's
yeah, exactly.
He's living in a fantasy world that's much happier than the
I think Rosen looks good.
Rosen.
So let me ask you this. Your quarterback in our league, 14 team PPR league, you have Russell Wilson and you have Will Disley. So you have sort of a connection there. As somebody who watches a ton of Seahawks games, what are we in for with Will Disley here?
I mean, whenever he's been healthy, he's been good. He's been, hopefully they'll be able to keep throwing it 50 times a game and then he'll get a touchdown every game. Right? I figured that's what's going to happen. I mean, we drafted O.J. Howard, which has not been super great for us so far, and Sony Michel and Stephon Diggs, and somehow we still beat you last week. So
that's shameful.
Not embarrassing for you at all.
No, but, it's incredibly embarrassing, candidly. But at least I lost the champs. You guys just had, like, everyone go off against me the week that we played each other. So what are you going to do there? If you're going to lose, you got to lose to the champs. For whatever reason, we've been in this league now together for a couple of years. You guys always beat me. Like, literally, like, it just feels like your best game of the year is always against me, and it drives me up a wall.
We literally tailor our draft just so that whatever week we're playing you, we will win.
That's true.
Smart, and you're not the only ones. Hey, Phil, let me ask you this. How many fantasy leagues do you guys play in just total between the two of you? Talk to me a little bit about sort of your fantasy football playing history, because that's how we got to know each other is actually, Phil, you and I got introduced by a mutual friend for some advice in another league of yours.
Yeah, I got kicked out of that league that I was in with Chris and a bunch of our friends from college. You were very gracious and gave me desperate advice. Like, I'm pretty sure I texted you 5 minutes before the draft. Super cool.
It's
very
fine.
Very gracious thing to do. Yeah. And I think it really helped. And I'm pretty sure they kicked me out just for being so good.
It was an all Dolphins strategy draft, which didn't pan out that year. But maybe next year.
Maybe next year. That is the Dolphins team slogan, maybe next year. And Chris, how about you?
The same thing. My first fantasy football was with this league with our friends from college. That's been a lot of fun. We've taken a break this year, so it's a little bit sad because now my only fantasy football is like with you guys.
Not sad. I can feel your focus.
That's right.
Yeah, 100%. You are laser focused on this. It's why you guys beat me.
That's why. That's it.
Dialed in on Sony Michel.
Something happened this week. I don't know what's up. Yeah,
it's going to be good.
Yeah, I need you guys. Yeah, I need to get you guys in a bunch of other leagues so you can sort of lose focus and maybe next year will be my next year will be my year when I can beat you guys. So here's a question. So you guys, in terms of, in addition to working on just beating me and Bless the Hearts, which again premieres this Sunday, September 29th at 8:30 on Fox, you guys also made news recently because you signed a big deal with Sony Entertainment, and you guys are now in charge of the Spider-Man universe for Sony. Have I described that correctly?
You've been a bit generous. well, we signed a big TV deal with Sony Television, and one of the things we're going to be working on is bringing, what's it called, Sony's
Sweet
universe of Marvel characters.
Yes.
To television screens across the globe.
Now,
so we're developing a bunch of shows in that universe.
And developing stuff for further stuff in the Into the Spider-Verse sequel universe also.
Well, so I have a couple of questions here. So first off, you guys are big muckety mucks. Like, don't you think it would be fair if, like, you know, Disney managed to own all the characters? Like, what do we got to do? Like, can we make some sort of fantasy football trade to get Spider-Man back over here and get him back into the MCU? Like, who can we talk to?
DC and Marvel, right? They should all.
I just think the government should nationalize all the entertainment and put it under one big tent.
That's right.
Right? And then, you know, and then it'll be like the Green Bay Packers. It'll belong to everybody.
Yes.
And then, right? And then that way, Batman can be friends with Spider-Man.
I feel like those guys probably have a
Yeah.
lot of
those guys can
Iron
hang
Man
out,
and Wonder like, Woman can hang out. Whole thing.
Yeah.
I mean, can't we all just get along?
It feels
exactly
so true. So poignant, Chris.
Yes.
Thank you.
Very poignant. That should be, that's all I asked for, is just can the opening scene of the next thing you guys do just be Spider-Man looking out the window longingly and like the raindrops come down and there's like sad music. That's all I need I just need that shot.
And you have another cameo outside holding a boombox over your head.
If this is just a long play for that, the answer is yes.
Well, thank you. So that's where I was going to get to, is just the fact is that I just want to point out two things. Is number one is I am officially in the Marvel's universe, right? So I'm a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent. I'm in the Marvel universe. And more importantly, guys, I've been in one movie. I've been in only one movie in my life, and that movie happened to make the most money of any movie all time. So on a per movie basis, I'm the highest grossing actor of all time.
It's true. You might need to hang it up. Yeah.
Indisputable.
But I am willing to risk that title to come do a cameo for you guys.
Wow, that's incredibly generous.
Thank you. You're very welcome. Just, you know, mull it about, figure out how to use me. Doesn't have to be a big role, doesn't have to be showy. I don't need a love scene or anything like that. But just, you know, just put me next to Spidey or something like that. That's all I'm asking.
Yeah, sure. Well, yeah, that's too bad. We did have a love scene for a fantasy football analyst, and I guess it's going to have to go to
Field.
Yeah, that's too bad.
Yeah,
that's okay. We'll think of something else.
There you go. You guys are creative. You guys will figure it out. Listen, I'm not opposed
to it.
I'll do whatever I need to for my art. All I'm asking is that my scene be somehow with Spider-Man. So if Spider-Man has to be there during the love scene, I'm okay with it. I'm just saying. I'd like to. I'm officially requesting to be next to Spidey in something that you guys do.
Yeah, no problem. No problem.
Yeah.
Guaranteed.
Yeah, guaranteed. You're going to be in one of our movies. Don't feel bad, by the way. Rich Eisen has appeared.
That is true.
I hope that doesn't make you feel competitive.
Come on, like I have slightly more hair than Rich. I was actually on Eisen's show, and we had a poll as to who was actually balder, me or him. I think he won.
He won?
He won. Yeah, he won. I think he won.
But including back hair, or is it just
visible hair?
Okay.
I'll leave it at that. So, listen, guys, in addition to trying to figure out different roles for me in the Spider-Verse and crushing me in fantasy football, you guys are also working on Bless the Hearts. Talk to me a little bit about this show. Like, I thought it was really funny. How did it come about? And you guys get pitched a bunch of stuff, so I'm curious, what made you choose this project to work on?
Well, we produced the show Last Man on Earth with our friend Will Forte, mm-hmm. and Emily Spivey was one of the heroes of that writing staff, and she's just somebody we've admired for a long time. She wrote on SNL. She's a super funny performer who's a groundling, And she's just one of the stars of the room, and she's always wanted to make this show about her hometown. She grew up in a small town in North Carolina outside of Charlotte. And you can hear me, I'm getting a slight southern inflection just thinking about it. And she wanted to do it as an animated series, and we jumped right in to help her.
And I have to tell you, so by the way, you mentioned the small town. The small town is actually High Point, North Carolina, which I found fascinating when I saw the notes on this, because my oldest son actually goes to High Point University in High Point, North Carolina. And really? I will just say the show is an accurate reflection on some level.
It is. I mean, it's really done with a lot of love, and it's pretty awesome. The cast is amazing. It's like Kristen Wiig and Maya Rudolph, Ike Barinholtz, Jillian Bell, Kumail, and a bunch of crazy guest stars. It's a bunch of comedy ringers.
Yeah, so it's three generations of women like living in the same house, and Ike is Wig's boyfriend on the show who kind of just wants to be part of the family, and then Kumail plays Jesus Christ. Two excellence.
I would say one of the most accurate and loving portrayals of Jesus that's been put on film.
Well, he's kind of like Kristen Wiig's like girlfriend that he can that she can gab with, yeah.
Fight giver, like Wilson over the fence in the Tool Time show.
Yeah, great. Chris knows his television
for
history.
For all the youngsters. I tell you what.
But I will tell you that it was really funny. Like I think if you are a fan of The Simpsons, if you're a fan of King of the Hill, you will really enjoy this. I laughed. I thought it was really funny. I was amazed at the cast you guys got. By the way, Ike Barinholtz, former member, he took some time off
That's
to do his
right.
movie, but former member of the Celebrity Fantasy Focus Podcast League. So
that is correct.
And Chicago Bears enthusiast.
Yes, he is.
Yeah, he must be happy.
So anyway, everyone, please check it out. Watch it. Tweet about it. Share it with your friends. Bless the Hearts, debuting Sunday, September 29th, 8:30 p.m. Eastern on the Fox Network. So check it out. Support Friends of Fantasy Football. Support our friends Chris and Phil. And good luck to you guys. Good luck with the show, but not in fantasy football.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Good luck with your show and not in fantasy football.
And we'll see you in the playoffs.
See you, brother.
All right, bye.
See ya.